But he'll say, you know, Dad, you guys raised us. And he's right.
Family man, yeah.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, we've got a special guest with us today, so we're not going to do a lot of chit-chatting, but I thought we should have an update on your grandson, Henry. I've been watching him progress on Caring Bridge, which everybody can go see. And it's Henry Scott Tomlinson, T-O-M-L-I-N-S-O-N. And, you know, there was some pictures of him, and I hope he's not listening, but he's starting to look like a kid.
A little bit. Not as many tubes and things stuck to him. He's still less than a pound and a half still, so that's a little kid.
Yeah, but the good news is he was kind of plugged up there for a little bit, but the dam has been released and he's urinating like a real man now.
Something like that. So yeah, all the fun little details are there on the Caring Bridge site, which we can share the link. If you haven't seen that yet, it's a fascinating read, if nothing else. But we do appreciate the prayers and the encouragement from everybody. It's been such a blessing, and I'm shocked at how many people care so much about us and about Henry. It's wonderful. So thank you for that. Actually, some people have asked for a way to help Abby and William financially. And, you know, they feel a little weird about that.
Right.
But they put out the link because enough people asked. So there is a Give, Send, Go thing, which is similar to GoFundMe. It's just a different thing. So if you want, we can share that.
Do share that because I'm sure some guys would like to be a part of that.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
So. That sounds great. Well, again, you can get more details there, but the cool thing to me is that he's progressing and he's getting stronger. And I saw Abby's comments just 7 hours ago. And she says, you know, no news is good news. There was a quiet night there in the NICU, and which doesn't happen very often. And there are some other things we can pray for, but it looks good.
Yes.
But we're going to make a transition now. We have a special guest with us. I already told you his name. It's Kent Evans. And Kent is with Manhood Journey, but I don't want to steal his thunder. So let me just say, Kent, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And the fact that you called me special guest is just so encouraging. By the way, first I've heard of baby Henry, so I'll be praying for him and we'll track him on Caring Bridge. Thank you guys for sharing.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, tell us about yourself, Kent. You know, before you get into the manhood journey part, just tell us, you know, give us your vital statistics.
Well, since no one can see me, I'm basically like the Greek god Adonis. Like, man, I'm cut and ripped and super studly. No, wait a minute. That's
and I have seen, I have talked to you online and I've seen you and I think that's accurate. I think that's all accurate.
I thought you were going the other direction. Ken Evans. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. My wife, April, and I have been married just about 28 years. A couple months. We'll celebrate our 28th wedding anniversary. We have 5 sons. They are ages 23, 21, 19, 11, and 8. See if I can keep up with all the birthdays. We got boys growing up, and we're, you know, we call ourselves a future husband factory around here. That's what we're doing. And one amazing daughter-in-law for the last few years. So our oldest is married, living in Nashville. You know what that's like, Todd. So yeah, that's a little bit about me personally.
Well, I think that's a cool thing. Even as you said, you're raising future husbands. You know, really, somebody just even said to me recently, you know, about our kids and going through when they got married. And they said, do they do premarital counseling? And I'm like, for the last 25 years, you know, exactly. I mean, you think
what
like
you
a week?
Been doing?
Do you think like 4 weeks is going to make a difference? You know? But really, we are. We are doing that. So tell us this story of Manhood Journey. I mean, it's a ministry you have. They can look at you right now, even at manhoodjourney.org. But how'd you get there?
Yeah. I was a business guy, had marketing jobs, sales jobs. And then when I was about 40, my brother-in-law and some guys at our church said, man, we should do something for fathers and sons around here. And so we just literally met as a group on a whiteboard and we're like, what all would we do? Well, we'd have a cookout and we'd teach them some life skills and we'd do a Bible study. And so then through the process of those meetings, we all kind of took a section of that, right? One guy took the events, one guy took the trainings. Me and a friend took the curriculum and we're like, we'll do some Bible studies and we'll make them fun and interesting and, you know, stuff kids would love and teenagers. So we wrote a Bible study back in 2011, about 12 years ago. And then we put it through some homes, some dads tested it with their boys. They loved it. So then the train kind of kept rolling. We've published a bunch of Bible studies. We now have a website that hosts hundreds of thousands of people every year and a growing email and podcast list. And so it's kind of steamrolled into something where we feel like God's opened a lot of doors that, man, if you told me he was going to open those doors 12 years ago, I'd have probably laughed you out of the room. But today we just try to help dads be disciple makers. That's our kind of main thrust, is we want to help dads raise godly men and women and not get too hung up on all the other, you know, dad missions that you could be on.
That's so good. And I'm sure this is pretty much a pinnacle of that, you know, being on the Family Man Show. Never in your wildest dreams would you have imagined this.
You know, for lots of reasons. You're right. I wouldn't have imagined it. No, a true story. Like, I met you a couple months ago through our mutual friend, Jay Payleitner, and I had reached out because I really have paid attention to what you're doing at Family Man for the last several years. And you guys do great work, man. You guys are real. You're honest. You're straightforward. You're centered on God and the gospel, and you don't get distracted. And man, it's been a blast to listen to your shows and watch your content come out. And, you know, kidding aside, I really have been a big fan of yours for quite a while. And this is a bit of a fanboy moment. So I'm pumped.
You sound like a spy.
Let's be honest. It's my fanboy moment.
It's really Scott. Scott, pretty much.
Oh, wait a minute. Was that Todd talking?
That's right. This is Todd speaking. You know, I'm at your website right now. And again, you have a lot of great products, but you have a quiz the dads can take. And I think it's really interesting. It's the Godly Dad Quiz. It's free. But you have some results already. Says you surveyed 2,000 dads about their biggest struggles. And maybe we could look at those. Mm. You know, 55% said their biggest struggles in leadership. And one of the quotes was, I feel like I'm failing as a dad. I'm exhausted and don't have the time to invest in making a change. Mm. You know, what does that say to you, I guess, when so many, over half, said that's their biggest struggle?
Yeah, I would say, like, even as you go down the list, I've had people ask me, how would you summarize the information you've learned from thousands of surveys and thousands of people who've shared you their struggles? It sadly, Todd, is the word failure. And it's not because dads are in fact failing. It's because they feel like they are. And what's interesting about that idea is, if you put me out on a basketball court and I'm 5'3", if you put me out on a basketball court and you'd never, ever, ever seen the sport of basketball played, far as you'd know, I'm great. I mean, like, you wouldn't even know the difference. If you literally had never, ever seen the sport played, you'd put me out there and go, hey, look, he's pretty good at that game. Gosh, he's moving that ball around. Every now and then it goes in that orange thing. But then if you brought LeBron James out and then he played against me, you'd go, oh, golly, Kent's horrible. God, I mean, that guy doesn't even know what he's doing. Why? Because now we've got a benchmark. We got a comparison point. That is a Hall of Famer, like, in the universe. And so you go, okay, if a dad is feeling like he's failing, he's got to be comparing himself to something. You never feel like you're failing without a benchmark. Mm. And so the question for dads is, what's that benchmark for you, man? What is that benchmark? Is it your own dad? Is it absolute perfection? Is it that your wife falls down and, you know, worships you when you walk in the door? What is your benchmark for fatherhood? Because so many dads feel like they are failing at it, and they've got to have a benchmark or a point of comparison, or they wouldn't even know if they're failing or not.
You know, and I think that's kind of, it's really interesting to me, because I'll have some guys who are, you can tell they come up to you and they're really serious minded and they're like, you just need to tell these dads that they need to shape up and do this. And I'm like, you know, really, I haven't met a dad who doesn't want to be a good dad?
Exactly.
You know, because it's in their heart. I mean, even the ones who are you'll hear those guys, you know, on their deathbed, super successful, and they'll say, you know, I wish I would have been a better dad. So 55% of those you've surveyed are feeling that. How do you, in manhood, how do you help them along in that?
Well, one thing I like to remind any dad who feels that way, and that to some degree, probably most dads feel to some degree like they're not getting it done in some areas. There was this one perfect dad, and he had these two kids. And what they did is they sinned against him and disobeyed what he told them to do. And then crazy story keeps going. Their grandkids, one murders the other one. So, okay, to turn the pressure release valve for us as dads, there's the waterfall questions. Number one, if you could be a perfect dad, let's just say, for the sake of argument, you'd have to be doing better than God himself for your kids to turn out perfectly. So, like, chill out on the pursuit of perfection. Number two, you won't be a perfect dad. So let me help you with the reality check. If this is the first time you've ever heard it, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. You're not going to be the perfect dad. So the question for us as dads comes back to, who are we going to rely on in the lives of our children to have them have their path made clear for them? Is it us or is it God himself? And when you get to that place where you realize, man, I'm going to give it the old college try. Like, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do all the things I do know to do. But at the same time, I am not going to get caught up in trying to become the perfect dad with perfect children. It's a fool's chase. And even if you could get there, they're still going to test you and rebel.
Mm. Well, that was your first one. 55% said leadership was where they struggled. The next highest was 25%. Said communication. And again, I think this comment says, I struggle connecting with my kids in meaningful ways. I'm really busy and I don't know where to begin. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges for us as dads is the seasons of life. And what I mean by that is when your kids are really young, you just tell them what to do. You know, stay out of traffic. Don't paint your sister. Put that down. You could burn the house down. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a lot of commands that come out of our mouth and they need to. It's, you know, our kids need to learn how to live and safety and all that. That's not how you talk to your mother. You know, those kind of things have all come out of our mouths. The problem is we don't make the pivot as our children hit their teenage years. And we continue to give our 13, 15, 17-year-old commands. And I have found what that tends to lead to is it tends to do a few things. One, it shuts down communication. Secondly, it retards their development as a young adult. They don't become a young adult who can think and process and make decisions because we make all of them for them. Mm-hmm. We just tell them how it's going to be. And then those things end up coming out from dads in our surveys as, oh, I really struggle with communication. Mm-hmm. No, you probably struggle with talking too much. And that's not the same thing as communication. And you probably struggle with the inability to ask good questions. Right? We've all heard that thing where guys go, you know, my kids come home from school and I say, how's your day? And they say, fine. Ah, teenagers these days, they just won't talk to anybody. Okay, dad, listen, sorry. Okay, Todd can encourage you. I'm just going to tell you something totally straight up. If you ask that question to your child, you deserve a lousy, pathetic answer because that's a lousy, pathetic question. Sorry, buddy. Listen, how was your day? Fine. Well, why don't you share more? Why don't you ask a better question? Ask a better question. In his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, Ted Tripp calls it rich entreaty. And it's the idea that we should be pulling out of our children's. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says the heart of a man is like deep water and a man of understanding draws it out. And so one of the keys to unlocking communication for dads, especially if you have teenage kids, is we've got to ask better questions. We got to give them room to think. When they say, I think Christianity's stupid, we don't go, oh, you blasphemer. Like, no, we go, hey, interesting. How did you arrive at that conclusion?
Go to your room.
Go to your room and think about it. How'd you? And it's like we can engage at a level that draws people out rather than just talking all the time. And I just see it's hard because when you have little kids, talking works great. When you have teenagers, asking works better.
Well, and you've kind of really, we're seeing that play out in huge ways right now. We keep calling all this generation, you know, the snowflake generation. who wants everybody to make their own their decisions and pay for all their things. I heard, you know, they're talking about canceling the college loan debt or up to for those poor people who make under $225,000 combined.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. And, you know, you hear the comments. They play the same ones, you know, from these young people who will say, I either have to pay this or I can't afford food. And I'm thinking, did you not know that you'd have to pay this back at some point? My point is, like you said, though, you know, my son, who's 30, he sometimes feels a little sensitive to everybody calling his generation the snowflake generation, even though he gets it. But he'll say, you know, Dad, you guys raised us. And he's right, you know. Yeah. We have raised this generation.
Absolutely.
Maybe by making all the decisions for them, like you said, maybe by just doing it because it's easier to say, how's your day going? Than to actually think about, you know their
Todd,
day.
One of my adult children called me not long ago and he had like an A/B choice to make, right? He had a decision to make and he called me and I appreciate the fact that he called me, right? Like, I mean, there's a ton of positive to this story. And he said, hey, here's my situation. What do you think I should do? And I said, no way, man. No way. And he goes, what? And I said, I am not going to help you make A/B decisions. Now, here's what I will do. Here's what I will do. How are you going to arrive at your decision? Tell me about what's important to you. Does this decision have a financial impact? What does your wife think? Will this decision impact your ability to hold down a job? You know, so I start asking questions about the rubric or the method he's going to use to make the decision. Oh man, I'm in that game forever. I'll do that till he dies, till I die. But A/B choices, no way, man, no way. And it's been, and he knows, and it's funny. He's like, I know, because after some age, teenage years, I didn't make very many decisions for them, and I just said, hey, but what I will do is I will help you figure out, how are you going to make it? What priorities, what criteria will be more or less important? Let's talk about those. Because then, you know, we all know this as older dads, I'm teaching them how to think rather than teaching them what to think. Right. And that's a big, big difference.
Really? And that's the important thing. Because you know, because your theology is right, you know that God's going to redeem even those bad choices. You know, because if he picks the wrong one, then he learns something in that. Right. And really, that's the better thing, as opposed to the parents or dads who, you know, we just want to keep them from making any terrible choices to where our kids, you know, freeze up and they don't know how to make a choice, or they don't know how to trust God with the choice.
Todd, we had an elder at our church who used to say, choices between right and wrong are simple. You need a moral compass. You need understanding of scripture. You can make right and wrong choices. He said the tricky ones are the choices between right and right, where either decision is actually, you know, that can honor the Lord, you know, can be responsible. You got two choices. Should I take job A or job B? Well, it's not that you're going to go working for, you know, a pastor in job A and a pornographer in job B. It's not that it's that obvious.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you just got to make a decision between right and right. And so then it comes down to, well, then how are you going to make that decision? What are the criteria? What's most important? And I remember the book I'd like to recommend to guys called Teaching to Change Lives by Dr. Howard Hendricks. That for me was a really powerful fatherhood influence for me, even though it's really a book about teaching. The central principle of the book was, we are trying as teachers to teach our students, quote unquote, children, how to think, not what to think. And that really formed my parenting approach, especially as my kid hit the teen years.
So, you know, because I'm a dad and it sounds so easy coming out of your mouth because you say it with such passion and it was such conviction. How do I begin? How do I begin? You know, it's hard for me to talk to my kids, you know, and they're going to come home from school and I don't know what to say. Give me an assignment.
Absolutely. So here's a couple assignments. Number one, in the area of teaching our kids how to think, go think about a decision that you will let them make where it's like controlled detonation. So for example, tonight or this weekend, if you really don't care deeply where you guys eat on Saturday afternoon, ask your teenager, hey man, where do you want to eat? And he goes, oh, I don't know. And you go, well, you have to decide or we're not going to eat. So this decision is totally on you. And then let them make decisions. And then later at the lunch outing go, oh man, this taco is great. Good decision, Billy. Way to go, Billy. Let Billy experience the weight of, quite frankly, an insignificant decision. Mm-hmm. But the victory will build momentum. So look for as many of those opportunities as you can find where your kid gets to pick. Does he go on the summer outing, you know, with the church camp, or does he pick up a summer job? Whatever. Let him make as many decisions as they possibly can. The second is just put in your pocket a few questions for your teenagers or your even sixth, seventh, eighth graders that are better than how was your day? So for example, I'll give you a couple quick examples. These are super easy. What happened today that was surprising? What was the most difficult part of your day? What part of your day did you enjoy the most? Who's a person you talked to today and what did you talk to them about? Like these kinds of questions force the brain to think harder. And not just open-ended versus closed-ended. It's not just about yes-no questions versus give me an essay answer. It is what piques their intellect and what causes them to have to think. There's a famous study years ago that was done where they asked people, hey, have you thought about buying a car? And those people were like 60% more likely to buy a car within 6 months. And that was it. That's all they did. The whole control group was, all they did was plant the seed of the question. Hey, have you thought about buying a car? And then it drove car sales up in this one study. So as a dad, especially as our kids hit teen years, we have a lot of capacity. I was at dinner last Friday night and one of the guys in our group, there were six of us and the youngest guy in the group, the median age in the group was 50. And this 23-year-old guy in our group looks at one of the 50-year-olds and goes, hey, what's one thing that Jesus has taught you? Like one of the most significant things Jesus has taught you. And I was in awe of this 23-year-old guy. And the next 15 minutes of the conversation around the table was really rich and fruitful. Mm. Questions drive that. And they pull out of people interesting stuff.
And really, you know, when you talk about even these quotes, they say, I don't know where to begin. I mean, that's why I love the idea, especially when you have younger kids or maybe all the way up. But, you know, why I always like to take my kids with me somewhere. So when I'd go to Menards or Lowe's or the post office, I'd say, hey, who wants to go with me? You know, when they're young, they all want to go with you. When they get older, nobody wants to go with you. but you have to make them because good things always happened in those cars, you know, where you just start talking about stuff. And then all of a sudden, the little things might not always turn into maybe just a little more. You know, where you can ask one of those questions. But I think, you know, sometimes dads don't get to experience because, you know, because we're thinking, we're busy and we think, okay, I've got my questions in my pocket. I'm going to ask those today. When just sometimes, though, if we can kind of force those natural occurrences by saying, hey, come on, and let's do this together, it happens.
I remember the book, Todd. It's old now, but it's called Point Man. They re-released it last year. Steve Farrar, great book on manhood, in my view. And in that book, he talked about the difference between quantity time and quality time. And he basically says quality time is a myth. Like you can't manufacture quality time. Hey, tonight from 6:30 to 7, we're going to have a deep, heartfelt conversation. And he talked about what you said. He said, you just got to have quantity time. They got to ride along, take them to the store, spend some time, hang out, because quality time just appears in the midst of quantity time and you can't predict it.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to run out of time and I want to get to at least to the next one was 15% said they struggle with training. It says life is busy with work, sports and school. I don't know how to begin investing in becoming a better father. You know, this is kind of what you do. You help train dads and men for this journey. How can they invest? Maybe not just in you, but also in you. How can they invest in what you're doing? You know, where would they start? Because you got a lot of good products. In fact, I just got a goodie box from you yesterday, and I'm impressed, and I'm not easily impressed by your products. You've got Bible study group guides for, you know, a group of guys, and you even have that one-on-one that you could do with your son.
Yeah.
How might they connect with you to begin this training part?
Yeah, the simple way to do that is dive onto our website at manhoodjourney.org, and we got tons of free stuff. Now, there's occasionally a course or something we might sell to help pay the bills around here, but for the most part, the vast majority of what we do is free or ultra cheap. Hop onto our website and snag any of this free stuff, a blog post, a podcast episode, a free ebook. We got tons of ebooks for free resources. What we want to help you do is we want to help you overcome that friction, that inertia of just not knowing how to start, not knowing what to do. As the old adage, right? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And so, Dad, you are so important. You are so important to your wife and your kids and your grandkids that if you and I both just only knew how important what we're doing is, we wouldn't waste a minute diving in. So I just want to encourage dads to say, go do it imperfectly. I had an old boss, Frank, who used to say, some things worth doing are worth doing imperfectly. Yeah. One of my other bosses said, I'm not going to let perfect become the enemy of excellent. So we're going to move, man. Let's go. Mm. And so, Dad, get in motion. Love your kids. Ask great questions. Dive into scripture. And if we can be a help along the way, we'd love to.
Okay. Well, help me just a little bit more. Okay. Because you do have a lot of things that I can, you know, what's the first thing I should get? It can be overwhelming to me. So what should I grab? Give me a shopping list here.
Yeah. Step one, subscribe to our weekly newsletter called Mountain Monday. And the reason I would suggest that is because in that newsletter, we do a really brief, like no more than one paragraph, miniature Bible devotional. There's a quick, like quick hitting. It's usually not even whole sentences. You know, I'm still college educated. So, hey, you're going to get what you get. So there is a very brief Bible Devo. There is a link to our most recent whatever. There's also an action item every single week. And the reason we call it Mountain Monday is, you know, some weeks you feel like you're climbing a mountain. It can feel like you got a lot out in front of you as a dad. And we want to help you climb that mountain. But we don't want to help you climb that mountain just to, you know, financial success or, you know, get your kid into Harvard. Go ahead. Those are great. But we want to help you disciple your children. So we're going to always be somewhere in the Word of God. So go grab Mountain Monday. It's totally free. No strings attached. There's not a gotcha. And every single Monday, we will encourage you, give you some Bible ideas, and give you an action you can put into place that very week with your family.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I guess I was a little surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be. But your very last survey answer, you know, things are struggling with, was only 5% was adversity. You know, which says to me, it's not all those external things that are holding me down. You know, I mean, there are some guys, I assume, you know, they're about to lose their house. They're going to lose their job, you know, or maybe having a grandson like Scott, who's really sick right now. You know, that's heavy, but that's not the vast majority. Because it does kind of point to the hard part is just being a dad.
Yeah. Well, and I would go back, Todd, to what we talked about at the top of the show. That is, if you feel like you're failing as a dad, compared to what? Compared to what? And we've got to lose these comparisons. If you feel like you're failing as a dad, guess what? You don't have a fatherhood problem. You have a theology problem. Like, no offense. Like, but that's where we all are. We all are. God is their father. We even say things like my house, my podcast, my kids, my family, my wife. No, wrong. They're all God's. They're all God's. I'm a steward of this kid's life till they leave my house or die or I die. Like, there's an end to that. And I'm going to steward that relationship on into their adult years, Lord willing. But man, I'm a steward. These are God's kids. He loves them more than I do. And through my failings and through my errors and my capacity to apologize, like, let's be honest, sometimes I got to walk into my kid's room and go, hey, dad was a jerk tonight. I yelled at you, and I yelled at you because I chose to. I didn't yell at you because you were bad. I yelled at you because I chose to, and I made a sinful choice, and I was a jerk. Will you please forgive me? Mm-hmm. If we can get that done, we create relationships around our homes where the other night on the phone call with my 23-year-old, he goes, you know, I didn't have perfect parents either. And I said, what? What?
Right.
He goes, sorry to break it to you, dad. But we were laughing about that because no duh, right? It wasn't, I mean, the reason we could laugh about it is because I wasn't offended. I'm not a perfect father. Like, surprise, surprise. And I would just love to encourage dads, get in the game, screw it up, apologize when you blow it, and move on.
You know, and really, even from your very first analogy of the playing on the basketball court, you know, there are guys who start out playing basketball who are only 5'3". There are dads listening right now who had a terrible example as a father. Or, you know, there was some tragedy in the midst of it, or your wiring, it's hard to communicate. But like you said, you know, you just kind of play where you're at and move forward. And the cool thing is, you know, I always say it's our job to give our kids baggage to work through. But maybe it's different. Maybe it's not as much baggage as when we were given, or we take our kids a little further. And that's kind of a cool thing to know.
Yeah. I mean, I had a dad who was in many ways great in the sense of financial provision, and he coached our teams and all, but there was no spiritual component to my upbringing at all. Zero. And well, I shouldn't say zero. There were some things we did right and did wrong. Like, you know, you mowed your yard, and I guess you could talk about responsibility, but like at the end of the day, I didn't grow up on like third base spiritually. Mm-hmm. Right. But God says in his word, Psalm 119, God's word are my counselors. Thy word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And I just think as a dad, the number one gift I can give my kids is to love their mom. And maybe tied with that, I don't want to get in a theology debate, but tied with that is spending time in God's word. Mm. Like, man, it fills me. It strengthens me. It does what it says it's going to do. It divides, it pierces, it does its job. And then I, as a dad, can live out of overflow and not live out of guilt or fear.
Hmm. Well, Ken, I'd love to keep going, but I teach homeschool co-op on this day. So I have to leave to go take care of a gym full of kids. But I hope all the dads were as encouraged as I was. And I hope they take advantage. I hope they sign up for your newsletter. And I hope they take advantage of your products, which are tons. I have lots of dads who are always saying, hey, do you know of a good resource that I could do with my son? And honestly, I usually let them down because I'm like, yeah, I've tried some. I don't have a good one. I'm excited about what you have to offer. So I hope some dads take advantage of that as well.
Thanks for sharing this time and your platform. And I do hope we've encouraged some dads. You're a good dude. Keep up the great work, man. I'm cheering Family Man on from the sidelines because you're doing great work, my friend.
Well, that's good. I'll take that from a spy who's been watching me.
I have been.
Are we trying to get Scott on your team? Should I know about this?
We have ways of making you talk.
That's right. Well, Kent, thanks for joining us. We're going to have to do this again. Have a great week and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, my brother.
Hey, Scott, but I gotta go. Ken already left. And I just want to encourage the dads, you know, maybe take that first step. You know, we've been doing this a while, you know, dad. So, you know, I know you're trying, you're on the team, you know, but if you feel like you need just a little extra, go check out his website, manhoodjourney.org. And don't forget to be praying for Scott's grandson, Henry. I was praying last night, you know, as we were going to bed, my wife and I, and I said, and pray for Scott's granddaughter. And my wife interrupts me as I'm praying. It's a grandson. And I'm like, I know it's a grandson. God knows it's a grandson. Why do you have to interrupt me? You know, but
I appreciate Debbie. That's awesome.
I mean, I don't think God was going, what? Well, a granddaughter? I thought the request was for a grandson. You know, so.
Good for you.
Okay, have a great week, Dad. Even though Family Man Fix It or Finish It February is officially over, doesn't mean that you might have a few things to take care of. In fact, I got one, and I'll close on this. This is a great letter. I got this yesterday, if I can find it real quick. This is from Steve Feaser. He said, I started working on a pair of nightstands for my wife and I shortly before our first son, John, was born. I finished one and only started the second one, and John was crawling. I thought, I don't want to miss this. So I packed the remaining pieces away for later. Then came Alyssa, then Matt, then Tim, and finally Luke. I did manage to get the nightstand finished before the end of February. Good thing, too. John will be 28 years old in less than 2 weeks. And I'm like, that is awesome.
He gets the Scott Award of the Week. At least I got it finished eventually.
28 years later. That's awesome.
Way to go.
Makes me proud to be on Team Dad. And Dad, I'm proud to be on your team because I love hearing about dads who struggle. And I know even maybe as you listen to Kent, you think, wow, he's doing Bible studies, you know, every morning and he's excited. Maybe maybe you're not as excited, or maybe Bible study time is hard for you. Again, you're not comparing yourself to Ken or to me or to Scott or to anybody else. You be the dad that God's called you to be. And just, if you have something you want to build up, just begin. And if you got a end cabinet thing that you've been working on for 28 years, get her done. Have a great week. Don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
You probably get up really early. You sound like one of those high energy guys that Scott hates.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I don't hate them. I'm just not in the same league. That's all.
Don't hate me because I'm awake.
That's why I don't compare myself to you guys. I keep the bar nice and low.
Oh my goodness. You guys are awesome.
So you just keep letting your kid watch Caddyshack. You're going to be okay. Yes. You know I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah, it was Animal House. Just let's get
Animal
right.
House.
Which is even worse probably, but
so Kent, like, is there anything in here about letting your kids watch Animal House?